Hi, Sander. How are you? Happy Good New morning. Year.
Terrific. And you, Jill?
I am, again, always happy to talk to you. And I love this topic because, of course, I have very firm opinions about this. But how do women find mentors on the outside?
Well, of course, there's a different article on this every other day. So let me start with a very interesting piece by Joanne Lublin, who is the former management news editor of the Wall Street Journal, who I know very well. She's a great researcher on this. So this article is headlined, Women Have Little Room for Error. Let me just tell you a little bit about it. So many women in management still struggle to move ahead. But a key reason for this widely discussed problem really gets discussed. It's true. Women's workplace weaknesses are overplayed or punished excessively, while men's shortcomings often are ignored, according to executive coaches, management consultants, and academic researchers. Quote, if women make one mistake, their career growth gets stalled, says Joelle Emerson, chief executive Paradigm, a diversity and inclusion strategy consultancy that has advised hundreds of U.S. companies. Quote, men are able to make multiple mistakes and not suffer career consequences, unquote. This is her research. Harsher treatment of women, serious mistakes may hurt their careers, recent research shows. Physician referrals to female surgeons, this is very interesting. Physicians' referrals to female surgeons plunged 54% following the death of a patient, but didn't drop for male surgeons, according to a 2017 Harvard working paper based on Medicare coverage of 9,150 surgeons. One female surgeon's fatal outcome also generated fewer referrals to all women in her specialty. Male surgeons avoided such broad punishment because, quote, men appear to be treated as individuals, the paper says. The way we interpret people's performance is going to be influenced by gender, says one study by Heather Sarsons, a postdoctoral fellow at the University of Toronto, Rotman School of Management. So I wanted to start with that a little bit, the Joanne Lublin, who's a great, she's a great writer, and her research is perfecto. So let's go back and talk about the original topic now. How do women find mentors? Well, the question is, do you go to a male boss or a female boss for women? Very difficult choice. Probably for women, male would be a lot better than female based on some research that I've done. And so if you're unable to get advice in the office, so what do? If you can't find a good mentor to help you, then what? Well, there's a very interesting website called OKREAL, OKREAL. Which is a website that mentors women primarily in the digital workforce. There are no mentors for women there. So that's where they go. But this is not for older women necessarily. It's for younger women. And they really have to focus their career very early on. And this website really, really helps them. The other one is for black women. It's founded by Felicia Mavis, and it's called Black Women's Collective. That's a great website that if you want to go on, you'll understand it. And it really helps women who of color. There's also one in the UK called Women's Working Women's Club, Working Women's Club in the UK, and it goes all through Europe. a woman named Phoebe Lovett began it. So that's really important that women have their own website for mentoring, which is very cool. Men do not, but this is just good that it started for women. Let's also talk about what women don't say. There's a very interesting article in Business Week, a recent issue of Business Week, by the former governor of the state of New Jersey, Christine Todd Whitman. And in this piece, she talks about the Dr. Christine Ford, her testimony at the congressional hearing relative to Judge Brett Kavanaugh. I find it fascinating that he was forceful. Of course, we remember that hearing. Brett Kavanaugh was very forceful, irreverent, and loud. He stood up for himself and had Dr. Ford spoken with the same tone and flippancy as Judge Kavanaugh, she would have surely been described as unstable or combative. He wasn't. So women who hold elective office face these challenges every day. They don't often speak out as forcefully as their male colleagues. They temper their remarks to be taken seriously. They tend to navigate the assumption that emotional language isn't constructive, that it undermines the point being made. That is a, quote, distraction, unquote. In turn, we are surprised when women speak up because we aren't used to hearing them. Very, very true. So that's the Christine Todd Whitman thing. She ends the article with, in just 1 year, our country has profoundly changed the way we address victims of sexual abuse, harassment, assault, and their abusers. But Ford and Kavanaugh showed how far we still have to go. Very well done relative to women again. So that's, we're seeing a lot of change, Jill. The Michigan Democrat, Rashida Tlaib, we all read about the quote about President Trump, the words I cannot use on the air, but we know how the words she used to try and get him impacted.
When you think about that word, we're going to talk about that for a second. Think about that word for a second. I just think it's really interesting that, okay, women, you going to use that word?
Yeah, right. So that was unusual, and it raised a lot of eyebrows,
But it's
Muslim.
What I'm trying to say is
how Trump feels about those people. But to use the word, mother F, to get him impeached, let's get that mother F impeached, publicly. This young woman, the new one, kind of shocked everyone. Of course, the other one, new one from the New York area, the Democrat, recently elected, Andrea Ocasio-Cortez, she was on 60 Minutes. Unbelievable. This, 20-year-old something talked about, fighting climate change. But these are the that's what's going on now. Women are out there speaking up, and many people are just shocked because it's a woman. If it was a man, oh, sure. I mean, they use that language all the time. But for two young women, newly elected, to speak like that, member of Congress, really, really shocking to most. And they're making headlines, and getting recognition.
Yeah, and I just have to ask, really and truly. I mean, yes, that's good for fundraising, but is that really how you want to? I don't know. People are running around seeing movies right now about The Favorite, Queen
yes.
Anne. Okay, whoa, that wasn't yesterday.
Yeah.
What about Elizabeth I? What about Catherine the Great? What about Cleopatra? What about you know, there's an element to this that's almost this is only my opinion, so apologies to anyone I'm about to offend. But women as a victim group. Hey, kids, there have been women CEOs. It used to be, I'm afraid. Whenever I hear a news story, oh, and she's a woman, it makes me want to stick pins in my eyes.
Yes.
I am very – there have been women successful women CEOs. None of this – speaks to this isn't about the abuse of power and women who have no voice and so forth. It is somehow conflating that group with a group that has been thriving for a long time.
Yes.
And in a funny way, it tends to by merging the two, you do make a victim group, right, but you also minimize a great deal of let's do, you know, Elizabeth Cady Stanton, let's do suffragettes, let's hello.
I agree.
You know, it's just sometimes hard in this presentation to a new and younger group to say, well, you free pass because you're a woman. You know, that doesn't work for me because one of the hardest lessons I ever learned is there's no such thing as an overnight success.
That's correct. That's true. But I think this whole article, the mentorship, particularly in the corporate world, is very important. And women really have to start to focus more on mentorship than they are right now. I mean, we're no longer back in the Mary Queen of Scots and Elizabeth, who had her head chopped off. You know, that's old. Now we must look at the corporate world as well for women. I mean, how many Mary Barras are there? You know, she really changed the whole culture of the car company, GM, when she became CEO. But there's not enough stories about people like that, you know?
But they could
worry, you know, and you know, Pepsi, number one now because of her. She just retired, of course, but not enough press on these items, right? It's only the Ford, you know, Dr. Ford, when she testified. The brain.
There's never, with all due respect, there's never enough press on that because most of the people doing that, you know, there is a, let's call it a gender divide, okay?
Exactly.
So most of the people assigning the stories, or even if you look at the, you can do this as a good news, bad news thing. Good news doesn't sell.
I do remember when the Indra became the president of Pepsi. People are quite, what? I mean, come on, a woman? You know, in India?
And a South Asian woman to boot.
Unbelievable. Yeah, it was unbelievable. But you know, look what she did. She was one of the great CEOs ever there, right? Yeah. Not enough on that. Not enough press on that. So, anyway. We're moving on, and I think these young people, these new young Congress people, are going to make a major, major impact. We'll see.
Thank you very much, Sandra Flum, Leader's Edge.
Have a great day.